And away we go here, live broadcast from the Marion County Fair. Scott Spears along with you for the ride for the next two solid hours. Sean Kraft, Pastor Craig with me here. Don't forget the broadcast, all broadcasts from the Marion County Fair are brought to you by Study His Word with Pastor Craig. Study His Word Radio can be heard by going to WWGH1071.com and selecting the archive page. You can also hear Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org, all one word, studyhiswordradio.org. Have fun at the fair. Pastor Craig, Sean Kraft here. Well, Pastor, you did a two-hour show there. You brought back a voice from Station Past and another voice who's still on the station, naturalist James Anderson and Nate Redman. Sean and I were walking around looking at what was going outside. What was the show like?
It was great. It's great to have, see our old friends again and talk about the fair and talk about what they're doing and what, Nate and Amber are doing, their Nate and Amber adventures, and just we talked about 4th of July. It was really good. Really good.
Sean, we went down and saw Buckeye Guy and had a Wagner, well, it's Wagner Pork. That's the booth down there. I ended up having a bratwurst, which is either bratwurst or bratwurst, depending on which side of town you're from. Sean had a burger, big surprise. So how were the things at Wagner and our little visit with the Buckeye Guy? What'd you make of that?
The hamburger is actually really delicious, actually. Whatever spice they put on it or whatever seasoning, it was really, really, really good. And then a Buckeye Guy, it's like normal. I like talking to Buckeye Guy. He's really fun to talk to. And I actually bought a cooler from him.
And we did a little 4th of July video with the Buckeye Guy in which he sings that you'll be able to catch on Facebook very, very soon. So you won't want to miss that. And I'm not going to tell you what song he sang. Song he sung or song he sang?
Song he
sang.
Right, yes, correct.
Song
whichever
he sang.
Whichever way you want to say it.
Sung doesn't, S-U-N-G, I don't think it's a word.
Song he sang.
Song he sang. But Sean, my question is, did you know that Tom Wagner, who runs Wagner Pork down there, was a drum major at OSU? He used to dot the I.
I did not know that. I just found that out from you earlier.
Well, I carry bits of information like that around. I like to know the vendors at the fair and what past lives they've lived. So when you go around, I can say, hey, that guy dotted the I at the OSU football game.
Absolutely. And he's a very nice guy. I talked to him a few minutes, I should say, and was getting a hamburger. He's a very nice guy to talk to.
I believe it was during the Earl Bruce era when he did that. I don't think it was the Woody Hayes era, but I'm sure it was not John Cooper. So I think it was that Earl Bruce era, but a very nice man.
And the bratwurst is good. That's what I had yesterday.
The bratwurst was very good. Now, I'm a fan of bratwurst. A lot of people aren't, and I don't understand that because I'd rather have a bratwurst than a hot dog.
I would agree. And as I mentioned, their bratwurst was what you'll get from a real farm bratwurst. It doesn't taste like the bratwurst you get at Kroger. Nothing against the bratwurst at Kroger. They're very good, but the flavor was different, and the flavor was very good.
Now, what did you... You was piping up there.
Oh, I totally disagree. I don't like bratwurst at all. I think they have, a spicy taste to them, and I'm just not a big...
These weren't spicy.
They wasn't spicy.
Spicy?
Yeah.
What bratwurst are you...
Some kind of...
Wait till the mic's in front of your face.
All right, I know. Some kind of seasoning or spice or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but I don't care for them. Even the beer brats, I don't care for.
Well, there's a whole thing about the beer bratwurst because I've been to Carly's and Bratwurst, who I consider the Ohio authority on bratwurst, and they will tell you at Carly's and or in Bucyrus, you boil the bratwurst, drink the beer. I don't think that it does anything to them.
I've fixed them a couple times, and I poured the beer in and did it in there, and I couldn't notice any difference.
Doesn't the beer just boil and evaporate off?
It does. Anytime you cook something in alcohol, whether you use a white wine or something like that, the alcohol's cooked off. Now I believe that when you prepare meals in wine, there is a certain flavor that you get.
Oh, wine, yes.
But I definitely cannot get a flavor from the beer.
Well, because if you use red wine, especially,
right,
you're really getting into a taste. It'll change the color of what you're cooking.
Right.
Especially a bratwurst.
Right.
It'll turn it pink.
Yeah, your friends will tell you, keep cooking it. It's pink.
It's pink. It's looking a little underdone. Now, I want to get back to this whole idea of spice in a bratwurst. There is no spice in a bratwurst.
Well, maybe I used the wrong word. I mean, like a seasoning or something. My body just not like. There's a seasoning in bratwurst that I can't tolerate.
So for the seasonings, they use spices.
Well, maybe it wasn't spices. I shouldn't say spices, but
I think that's just how a bratwurst tastes.
It just doesn't taste good to me. I don't know why.
Well, I think if you doused it in the normal amount of cheese and ketchup that you do a hamburger, I think you'd be fine.
maybe I'll try that, see what it tastes like.
Now, we should mention it is Independence Day here at the Marion County Fair, and Independence Day is a very, very important day in our country. And now, Greg, your first hour was all about the Declaration of Independence, which has been a tradition here at WGH Radio, that gets read at some point during the day on the 4th of July, so I'm glad we got that on the air today. But what does this whole day, this whole spectacle, and everything that's going to happen tonight mean to you?
Well, it's kind of interesting because first I'd like to say that after, you know, reading the Declaration of Independence and putting a little thought behind it and a little study behind it, it actually brought on a whole new meaning to me. I mean, it really stands out how big the document was, how important it was. And I think, you know, to me, it just kind of renews, reaffirms, or reinvigorates that feeling of patriotism that one can have today.
You know something, now again, this is not a political show on the 4th of July, but I do have a copy of the Bill of Rights. Now, I'm not going to read the whole Bill of Rights. I think that's on people to do if they want to do that. But I do find something interesting, and I want to get both of your opinion on this. Are you still with us here?
Yeah, you had a fan club just walk by.
Oh, did I?
Well, that looked more like your fan club than mine. But, and I'm glad we're on radio, because you don't know what that means, but Pastor Craig knows what that means. I just saw the caboose of that train, and I knew where we were.
No, they were pointing at you.
No, I don't think they were.
I don't think they know me.
I don't know them.
That's your listenership in the morning.
What that one? Well, we got a bigger listenership than I thought. All right, here we go. Boy, we're having fun on the 4th. Okay, what was I talking about? Politics.
Yeah, something about the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, we don't want to get into politics here today, but now this is what I want you both to take a listen to. Now, this is very important, because there's a lot of talk in this country about the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights. And here's how it reads. I'm going to read it to you word for word. Right to bear arms. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, that's how it reads. Now, here's what I don't understand. Now, let's go down to Amendment Number 5. Now, I want you to listen to Amendment Number 5. I think it covers two pages here. But I only need to read the first few lines. Here's the Fifth Amendment. Now, this is not popular, but I'm just proving a point here. It's the right to criminal cases. The Fifth Amendment says no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of an indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia. When in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be charged twice, double jeopardy, life and limb, all in that. Now, it's a long amendment, but here's my point. Because there's a long talk about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, does it really mean, did the Founding Fathers really mean that everybody should have a gun? And it gets into the conversation about assault weapons and all that. I don't think we really need to talk about militia. I don't think we really need to talk about assault weapons. Here's what I don't understand, and this is what I'm going to ask you both. Now, in the first one, the Second Amendment, it says the right of the people. Now, the people, to me, in English, refers to a group. Now, some people would say that that's how they spoke back then. Well, the same time they wrote this, the Fifth Amendment was made the same time, no person shall be held to answer. So they do, in this, refer to every person. So why, if they did mean that, and I'm not saying I wasn't wrote this document, why don't they say the right of each person to keep and bear arms? Because they do use the word person in the document. And that's always my question about the Second Amendment.
And my answer to that is, Scott, I really don't know.
Isn't that peculiar, though?
Yes, it is.
Have you ever read the Bill of Rights and wondered why they do use person in the Fifth Amendment? People who argue about the Second Amendment argue that it's not about a militia, it's not about a group, although it never says person in the Second Amendment.
Right. Trying to think on my feet as I sit here, think of is that when they in the there said that people, it was phrased that way to mean the entire amount of the population within, you know, the states, meaning the people of the United States, to include everyone. And I can contrast that to the Fifth Amendment, where they said no person, because that was being more specific, saying no person. If they'd used people in that sense, it would cover everybody, but I think they wanted to be specific and say no single person.
And I would agree with that, and I wonder why in the Second Amendment, which is a very short amendment, by the way, it's not long at all, why they are not specific. Because we've argued about the Second Amendment for so long now in this country because of the ambiguity of how it was written.
What I think is they referred to people, the whole region, the whole area, everybody in the country, for this reason. Because I don't believe that at that time they envisioned a full-time standing army, that there was going to be a need for a permanent military, full-time employees. What was in their minds was that as the need arose, people would be asked to serve in this militia as the need for an army rose and fell. In peace times, I don't think they envisioned that permanent army, but I think they saw the need to have available a militia, an army, and therefore they felt necessary to say, you know, the people shall have the right to bear arms, with the thought being that any time you might be needed for the militia.
What do you think, Sean?
Well, I think everybody should carry a gun, because, I mean, the way the world that we are in today.
Was that the question? I mean, I don't mean to stop you here at the 4th of July, but I don't remember maybe that being part of the question that I was asking. I mean, you can go on with it.
Well, you said bear
because
arms.
Because the First Amendment is freedom of speech and freedom of the press, so you go on with this. But I don't remember that being the question. But go ahead.
But you did say at the beginning you we're talking about the First Amendment, and I think you said the First Amendment, right? Oh, the Second Amendment. Oh, okay. Well, my bad. I missed it. I can't hardly. I'm trying to. That was loud there. Anyway, so I think for bear arms as well. I think everybody should be able to carry a gun. But as far as the other thing go, I have no idea on the first part.
Now, the general question there was, why does the Constitution use the language that every person shall get a fair trial, but doesn't say that every person shall have a gun? It says the people, not every person.
This is language they used back then in the day.
Well, that's the argument that they make, but it does say person in the Fifth Amendment. So at the same time they wrote the Second Amendment, they wrote the Fifth Amendment. Why didn't they use person in the Second Amendment?
I have no idea. I don't know who wrote it, to be honest with you.
People. Group of people.
Yeah, not each person's, but the people.
No, and you know, the Bill of Rights is an interesting document to begin with, because the only reason we have the Bill of Rights is because people did not want to be taxed. Right. So the agreement, and I don't, you know, not to get into the weeds here, 1776, but there we would have no Bill of Rights, which people now really hold more than the Constitution. But the Constitution was drawn up, and the states, the colonies at that time, would not pass it because they did not want to be taxed. They did not feel they should be taxed. So the Bill of Rights was printed up to persuade people to vote the Constitution in.
You know, it's interesting about that, what you said. You know, most people are either familiar with the Bill of Rights or are very familiar, and we'll talk about that. But that's just part of the Constitution. But yet, the majority of people really don't talk about, really don't know what else there is in the Constitution. They know about the Bill of Rights. They know what some of the key ones are. But even so far as if we ask these people walking around today, we've got a copy of the Bill of Rights here. What is your Ninth Amendment? Most people couldn't tell you what your Ninth Amendment was. They know the First, they know the Second, and they know the Fifth.
That's about it. Well, it's interesting because to me, that we always talk about the Founding Fathers and your rights. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Ben Franklin, and Madison, they did not want the Bill of Rights. They eventually came on it so they could get the taxation in there. But they did the Constitutional Convention, what happened in Philadelphia at Constitution Hall, was not the Bill of Rights. That was the Declaration of Independence. The Bill of Rights, which people now lay as our Founding Fathers' great document, that was really just something they did because they did not want to have to amend the Declaration of Independence, and they owed a lot of money. They needed the tax money. So, facts are facts.
Right.
I wish some people on cable news would know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the other favorite 4th of July memory in your entire life, Pastor Craig?
Decorating my bicycle as a kid to wrap my bicycle in the 4th of July that we had parade, that the parade was in our neighborhood. That is my favorite memory. I look forward to decorating my bicycle and riding it in the parade.
Sean, what's your favorite 4th of July memory?
You know, I really don't have one. I come to think of it, I'm a 4th of July person. I'm usually, working or...
I don't know, as your kid.
I'm trying to think of any. Nothing's coming into the bell right now.
Did you go and watch fireworks anywhere?
I mean, I believe when I was younger I did. But when I got older in my teen years, I never did. I thought...
What's yours, Scott?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I have liked watching the fireworks, and I remember we used to go over into the store parking lot next door here, and we'd get some groceries at the store, and we'd sit in the parking lot, and this road is always jammed out here at about 10 o'clock at tonight, and everybody sits and watches the fireworks, and it's fun. So I enjoy that. And I've done a couple cookouts in the past years. Last year I did not do one, but the year before that, the 4th of July was on a Sunday, so I did a cookout that year. And the year before that was during the pandemic when the fair was canceled, so I did one that year. And I had a lot of fun with those cookouts. So those are good memories. You came to those cookouts. Aren't those memorable on your list?
I guess it didn't ring a bell, I guess. But, yeah, they were fun. Yeah.
Sean, I have to, just, you're brimming with excitement on Independence Day.
I'm just not a big fan of the of holidays.
Hey, everybody has their favorite holiday.
I mean, I like Christmas.
You sing out at the studio at Christmas time.
I do.
We are as far out here from Christmas right now, heat and almost diametrically opposed in the calendar to Christmas. This is the anti-Christmas month, July.
It is. And then a lot of stores start decorating.
Well, I think Labor Day is when they normally put the decorations out. Now, I don't know what this whole Christmas in July movement is. I don't understand it. I've never understood it. But people try to put that out there.
You know, I've never understood it. And I think, quite honestly, it's, it takes away from Christmas. Trying to have, Christmas twice a year, Christmas in July. To me, it's pointless, and I never understood it.
No. And I don't understand why you're trying to collide it with things like the 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day, that do go on in the summer.
Right. It's not like we don't have any holidays in the summer.
No!
We got a big one today.
You know, we have more holidays in the summer than we do in the winter.
Right.
Memorial Day? Memorial Day.
Labor Day?
4th
of July?
Juneteenth?
Right.
All federal holidays.
Right.
Now, as far as the winter goes, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
I don't understand the Juneteenth. What? We never had that when I was growing up.
No, it just started last year.
I know. I don't understand why don't we make it up new holidays? I don't
know if we made it up. I think what happened was Juneteenth is the celebration of the end of slavery. And it was never a federal holiday because it was just celebrated mostly in southern states, I believe. But as a country, we decided, the government, both Democrats and Republicans, decided that we should celebrate the end of slavery as something important.
Then why don't companies recognize it?
Well, federals do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of companies do. I mean, there's a lot of places closed.
Banks are closed. Mail doesn't deliver. All federal offices are closed.
Maybe I should get a federal job. Then I can't.
Well, you don't get off on the 4th, but you don't want to abolish this holiday, do you?
What, today?
No, it's a federal holiday.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying, man, so maybe I should get a federal holiday job and I can get all of them off.
Then you'd be okay with Juneteenth. You'd say, bring on more of those holidays.
No, I just didn't understand. We make up everything, Pastor. We make up.
I don't know that we've made up anything here.
I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, they have, like, National Donut Day. They have all these national days that I didn't have when I was younger.
But those aren't federal. Those aren't federal holidays. And nobody gets a day off for National Donut Day.
No, but I don't know. Be surprised, I guess. Some people might. I had to put my donuts.
You're comparing the end of slavery to National Donut Day?
No, I'm just saying all this stuff's getting made up now. I mean,
I guess what I'm trying to say here is, I don't think you're trying to say what you're saying here. Nobody made it up. It wasn't like somebody said, hey,
let's make up.
Yeah, let's put Juneteenth in there.
No, I remember they never had that when I was growing up. They just came up with it.
Well, no. In the South, it's always been there, and they've always celebrated it. But we just, I mean, what do you do on President's Day?
That's what I'm saying, but it's there. What I'm saying is, it's there. How come they didn't have think of this back when I was growing up?
Well, for the same reason that they didn't have President's Day back when I was growing up. When I was growing up, there were two holidays. There was a holiday in February 11th or 12th, February 12th, Lincoln's birthday. That was a holiday. And then February 22nd was Washington's birthday. That was a holiday. So what they did is they took those two holidays and combined them to one holiday called President's Day.
And put them on a Monday because we all like three-day weekends.
That's right. But previous to that, we had two holidays in February. So, you know, it's not anything's made up. It's just, as time goes on, we reevaluate what national holidays we want to celebrate.
So, but who came up with what's it called?
Juneteenth. Not June. Juneteenth.
So who the different Juneteenth or June?
Juneteenth. Stop with Juneteenth. Do you want me to write it down for you? Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. Why couldn't they make it a different, Pastor? Why couldn't they come up with a different
name? Nobody came up with anything. I think you're confused
because
here.
Because since the first time that they celebrated June 19th, they celebrated what happened on June 19th. And they called it Juneteenth. And so they called it that from the very beginning. I mean, nobody said, can we take a day in June? Can we come up with a really cool name and make it a holiday? They were celebrating a specific event on a specific day.
So my concern is, why couldn't they come up with, like, I don't know, like something that has slavery in it? Instead of Juneteenth.
It's not
Juneteenth.
It's
Juneteenth.
Do you have a touch of Alzheimer's?
Sure. Juneteenth. Okay, excuse me. So, well, yeah, why did I...
Okay, so on Memorial Day, why didn't they come up with a name that said...
Dead Soldier Day.
Dead Soldier Day. Military Forces Remembrance Day. No, they call it Memorial Day. So, I can't argue with how the holidays are named. You know, this brings up an interesting point. I talked about. Jay, Independence Day is really about the only holiday that we don't really talk about by its name. We talk about it based on its name. Its date. Christmas, 25th of December. We talk about Christmas. What are you doing for Christmas? Where are you going for Christmas? New Year's Day, it's the first. But we don't say, what are you doing for the first? We say, what are you doing for New Year's? But Independence Day, it's become really the July 4th holiday. You know, hey, are you doing anything for the 4th? What are you doing for July 4th? We refer to it as the 4th.
Right.
So here's an example, Juneteenth, where they rolled the holiday into the date. Okay. It works. It works.
I think I would
we're gonna celebrate Zero Slave Day.
Yeah. I think that makes better sense to logical people. Because I think if somebody would say, okay, I had no idea what it was at first until I read up on it. Right? I had no idea. So that's why if they named it something that is logic.
That if they named it something that you could, by the name, figure out what it is, you'd be happy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I guess my question to you is, what's Labor Day about?
Well, Labor Day is
when pregnant women have their baby. It's to honor the pregnant women gone through labor and they're having their baby.
No, no.
I mean, it's labor. It's
having a conversation. To honor the American worker. The
labor unions are
labor
what that's
union.
Started.
Right, right.
Nobody knows that. Nobody celebrates labor unions on Labor Day.
Right. I mean, seriously, have you ever celebrated the labor unions because it was Labor Day and they gave you a day off?
No.
No, nobody celebrates
it. Why do you need to know what the day's all about? You didn't know that day's been around forever. You didn't know what that meant.
Well, at least it makes sense in, like I said, having just a name in front of it.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think most people, as the pastor said, call this Independence Day. They call it 4th of July. So what's wrong with Juneteenth?
Well, on July, a good question, I guess, if you stop and think about it. But, really, I think it should be Independence Day, the title.
Well, it is, and it really is. It's just, as a whole, the population, we've come to refer more to it as the 4th of July. You know, like, you doing anything for the 4th? Hey, I'm having a party on the 4th. You want to come over? No, we're going to be out of town on the 4th. We as people made it that way. But its official name has changed. It's Independence Day, and it is Independence Day.
Because we like to use slang words a lot. We use slang words a lot in America.
You know, that brings up another topic.
Yeah.
Scott just rolled his eyes. I'm sorry.
It's that last topic. I just, you know, I don't know. I hope we get that fan back here.
Well, I kind of thought I had a nice segue to get us out.
It was good. Go right ahead. People will be listening to that one later on, trying to figure the interpretation out of Juneteenth. But
when I was reading through the Declaration of Independence, and I was looking at how it was written, and I was looking at a lot of the words don't use now, and a lot of those, you know, they had big long sentences, and it really gave me the impression that we have really gotten sloppy or lazy in our speech.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about that. Why is that?
I don't know. It's because people just want to make it a lot easier. I don't know why they make up butcher words. I don't know. What do you think, Pastor? I don't know.
I don't know. I just think as a culture, we really have, over the years, gotten sloppy, lazy in our speech. And really, you almost have to read a really accomplished author to get a flavor of really the true English language.
The phrase most overused, this is interesting, that is used incorrectly, and mine is a pet peeve, and every time I hear it, and I hear it a lot, I cringe, Literally. I literally went out and got the newspaper. I literally just saw that person. Well, of course you did. That's what literally means. You saw them. I just saw that person. You use literally when you're trying to emphasize it didn't happen. Like, it falls down. I literally just sat here. You've already told me, Scott, you don't have to say literally. That's my, I hate when people, and there are certain people who have got literally in their vocabulary and cannot get it out. It almost comes like every third sentence. So,
and you know, and there are a lot of words over the years that are kind of like that, you know, just so overused. And, you know, proper use of English we've gotten lazy about. I don't know if it's our schools or it's our families or what, but we've gotten lazy. Like, for instance, hey, where are you at? If you can remember back to your English classes when you were a child, you know, that's not a proper sentence. Where are you at?
That's a preposition.
Right, and you never end a sentence in a preposition.
Right. You say, where are you at, Dan? You got it. That's a proper sentence.
Right.
You got to put a noun on the end of it. A sentence with a preposition. But we do it.
We do it.
All the time.
We do it.
So, sure.
I think it's hefty. Probably. Wow. I don't know. I'll have to come back to me on that one.
Y'all?
This is my favorite pet peeve.
Y'all. Come back now.
No, you would never say that.
Virginia.
So it's a derivational thing.
Yes.
It's a general thing. If you say y'all, you're a hillbilly.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think it's a hillbilly, true, down southern talk. Or over around the bend, round bends when I'm...
Yeah, well, if you're traveling in certain parts of the country, I wouldn't want you to make a big deal about telling people that y'all is a hillbilly thing. You might meet with some unfriendly people.
You're untimely death.
No, I mean, no, seriously, people know it's a... I have family that live in West Virginia, and they'll say, hey, that's a hillbilly thing.
But now, see, this brings up a bigger topic, because... Now, that's an interesting thing. When somebody says one person, like, speaks for the whole... Well, they don't mind being called hillbillies. It's like everybody in West Virginia, okay, you can call everybody a hillbilly. That's interesting because we hear that a lot with pejorative terms or negative terms. Well, my friend doesn't mind being called this, so everybody must be okay with that. Well, that's not the case.
I think people have a little bit of hillbilly in them, just about every American has a little bit in them, just a touch. Some of them have more, some of them have less. I do stuff that I feel like I'm a hillbilly.
So you what you're saying is if you shake anybody's family tree, a woman from West Virginia is going to fall out. Is that what you're saying? And right behind her is going to be a skillet full of sausage gravy. There it comes.
That's not good
right now. It's 90 degrees on the 4th of July and you want to eat sausage gravy?
There is nothing like, Pastor, you can agree with me on this, nothing like a homemade sausage gravy down southern.
Well, I would agree, yes. But it's not the first thing I would think of on the 4th of July when it's 90 degrees.
What do you think about right now, ice cream?
I'd be more likely to think about ice cream than a skillet of sausage gravy.
Let's find sausage gravy. My bones are a little chilled today.
You know, I don't know. I can eat that food all day long, like sausage gravy.
You got a problem with the bratwurst.
I do.
So you can only use sausage, not bratwurst, because the sausage is not spicy, but the bratwurst is.
Well, no, see, I think I retracted myself earlier. I didn't mean to use spice. I meant to use
seasoning.
Seasoning,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. Did you agree with the seasoning yet?
Now we're splitting hairs.
You say tomato, I say tomato. You know, this is an interesting conversation because in my retirement, which may come soon, you never know, I plan to open up a food truck because that's what the business is now. It's food trucks, and I want to go sit in a store parking lot for the rest of my life and sell food because I think there's money in that. And I think that I could cook a few dishes that are unique to me and market it well.
If you get sick and they sue you, what are you going to be doing?
Now, see, why is it always a negative? Why can't you be, when you become a millionaire from that, you know, can I come swim in your pool? And bring your fan club over there with you.
Working in the food industry right now is very scary. There's a lot of, I shouldn't use the word scammers, but there is a lot of people out there who will just turn you in for any odd reason.
Well, I can turn me in. I don't care. I've been turned in before. That's old hat. Wouldn't be the first time. Pastor, where are you coming on this conversation?
I'm actually speechless for a minute.
Well, that's a good time for us to say that our broadcast here from the Marion County Fair are supported by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. Study His Word Radio can be heard by going to wwgh1071.com. I've heard of that site. And selecting the archive page. Also, you can hear Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org. That's studyhiswordradio.org. No spaces, have fun at the fair. All right. Now, Pastor, I did ask you this yesterday, but it bears repeating here. When they go to studyhiswordradio.org, what do they get?
They get my podcast, and I put a podcast up every Wednesday, and they can find individual Bible studies that are on there. In the future, we're going to have some interviews on the podcast, and I'm going to do some news and commentary. Pretty much the similar format that I was doing my show here.
You know what's interesting is that I have found this with people who do good interviews. They don't like to be interviewed. I don't know why that is, but there's a all good interviewers that I knew and have known the interview. I don't know why that is, but there's an internal thing there.
I think it's an internal thing. It just... A general feeling of uncomfortableness that the spotlight is on you. Because if you're a good interviewer, you know the spotlight is not on you. You're not the most important thing there. The most important thing there is the person being interviewed. And people who are really good at that are really good at not taking the spotlight. So when it's their turn to be interviewed, they're uncomfortable about that.
You know, I was watching a show on Jane Pauley last night, and I feel Jane Pauley does not get the credit she deserves in the broadcast industry. Jane Pauley started at 26 years old on the Today Show, was on there for 13 years, did a tremendous job, and that CBS Sunday Morning Show, which she is still on, is a great show. And she did Dateline all those years and was a great, great Jane Pauley's a great broadcaster, and I bring this up because last night I was watching an interview that she was giving, and she said she is uncomfortable at a dinner party. She is uncomfortable meeting new people. But on air, her blood pressure goes down. She said one time they had a blood pressure expert on the Today Show when she was on there, and they took her blood pressure before they went on air so they could make sure the equipment worked, and her blood pressure dropped when they did it on air. And I believe that's part of the reason interviewers do not like to be interviewed, because when you're in front of a group speaking or you are on television or on the radio, you're in control. But when you are being interviewed or at a party or meeting somebody new, you're not in control. And not that you have to be a control freak. It's not about that. I don't think Jane Pauley's a control freak. I think it just leaves things to chance.
It's where is your comfort zone? In one setting... You're in your comfort zone, you're controlling it. The other setting, you're not controlling it, you're not in your comfort zone.
What do you think about that, Sean? Anxiety, social anxiety, people who are on it. David Letterman said he was a terrible social anxiety-ridden person. Didn't Johnny Carson, another one, that people say they never saw him off the air, but on the air, he was great.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell's one of them, you know. She's... He has the depression and anxiety and all that. So, yeah, I totally agree. It's a real thing.
But how can somebody who is a hugely entertaining person, fascinatingly entertaining, for years and years and years and prolific, like Letterman was on for 33 years, Carson was on for 30 years, be reclusive?
I mean, you know, look for example, what was it, Robert Williams, same thing. I think he tried to hide it, but deep down inside, it's still there.
What do you think, Pastor?
Yeah, I think it's something about that personality. You know, there's that element where, again, it goes back to you in your comfort zone, and when you're out of that element, that's not your comfort zone. I think it has to do with that personality.
I just think the polar opposite of it is fascinating. That you can be the world's greatest entertainer, but yet, that's it. You want to come say hello? Okay. We heard you anyway. That's reckless.
What?
Well, I said, do you want to come say hello? And she said, no, thank you, but we heard that anyway. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's okay.
A social recluse right there. Probably hosts her own show.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, there's shy people out in the world.
But all she had to say was hello.
And nobody would see her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not exactly doing Ed Sullivan over here. But that's the way it goes, I guess, here at the Marion County Fair. And we're having a lot of fun here. We're going to see him, right smack dab in the middle of the July 4th Independence Day holiday. A good time. We've got a whole nother hour coming up here with Pastor Craig and Sean. Now, during the break, we'll all get together and have a meeting. And see what in the world we're going to talk about for the second hour, because the scintillating topics in hour number one, I'm sure, have kept people glued to their chairs wherever they are. Because if I was at home right now and it was Independence Day, this is the conversation I'd want to be listening to, is the one we're having on this station right now. Don't you agree, Sean?
Absolutely.
This is brimming with 4th of July and fireworks and red, white, and blue.
That's right. Everybody enjoys that good train wreck called Junith.
Yeah, our favorite. I know next year I've already got my Junith decorations ordered. They're going to be delivered by Amazon very soon. Come over to the house for Junith.
You guys are never going to let me live in it again.
Well, you said it several times after we corrected you. One time I would let you off the hook, but after it's like 17, I thought, is he ever going to say Juneteenth?
Okay, yeah, I'll start. Now I remember. I guess it took me a while to sink it down to my brain.
What, did you have like an aunt named Junith?
Maybe like my ancestor or something down the line.
When I said, what's your favorite slang term, you should have said Junith.
I guess I should have. That's a good idea.
You got a little West Virginia in you. You slanged it up. All you could see was that biscuits and gravy on this hot, hot, by the way, 87 degrees and mostly sunny skies.
It's a warm one.
It's a warm one. You have a sweatshirt on. Yeah. Why is that?
I just wore it. I thought I was going to have air conditioning in here. But...
You know there's not air conditioning in here. You absolutely know that. Don't lie to the audience.
But you know, Scott, for being 87 outside, it really is not as hot in the Coliseum as I would have thought. I mean, yes, it's warmer.
No, it's not bad.
But we're not, I mean, we're not breaking sweats just sitting here.
Most of us.
Most of us.
Oh, you guys know how to hurt a man, don't you?
You know what? It's all love. It's love to your
today. Feel the love.
It's 4th of July. It's Independence Day. And we're all going to end the show with the Pledge of Allegiance next hour. So you got to be ready for that. That's going to be a big solidified... You know I was talking there, but go right ahead.
So I don't mind me. Oh, yes, exactly. That's why I need that third mic. I'm so used to talking with my microphone in my face. So, Pastor, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Now, why did they take Under God out of schools?
Oh, well, we're in the...
We saved that for next hour.
We're, in the closing minutes of this hour, so...
All right.
Yes.
Next hour, Pastor, will tell us about it.
Okay. Now, in the final moments of this hour, what I was going to say was that... Now, what is the real time? Because now, for those people listening at home...
5:57.
We have a clock here on the computer... 6:57. Okay, we'll get there. What's going on? Why I'm asking that is we have a computer here in the studio, our makeshift studio, that says 6:59. So it's actually 2 minutes off for some reason. So I don't have a clock in front of me actually to know when to end this particular hour.
Which is why I ended the last hour.
Right? A little early. Yeah, a little early. Which we didn't know the clock was off until recently.
I will get it fixed.
Oh, that's good. Not during the break, because we'll never get back on the air. But oh, that's what I wanted to say before we went to break. By the way, we will be at the fair tomorrow, and tomorrow morning I'll tell you the exact time that we're going to be here, but we are definite for Thursday here, just like tonight. 4 until 8, Pastor will be on for the first 2 hours, and then we'll be on for the last two. And then coming up on Friday, we're going to close out our broadcast at the Marion County Fair, 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. What a night we're going to have. Now, Pastor, tell me about Thursday night show.
Thursday night show, I've got some things in the work, but it's going to be a real smorgasbord of topics. Some of them are going to be fair-related, some of them are going to be summer-related, and so it's just going to be a free-for-all.
It's going to be kind of like a hobo stew of shows.
Yeah, there's some hillbilly in all of us.
Well, I heard there was a little bit of hillbilly in all of us.
There is, eventually. Go back to your ancestors, really.
Well, like who? Who was hillbilly in your family?
Oh, I think my great-grandma, I think, was.
Your great-grandma who?
Kraft.
You know, it's interesting, with 30 seconds left here, here's a fun fact for you on 4th of July. None of Sean's family has ever lived past the age of 69. None of them.
That's true.
Wow.
No family member on his mother or father's side, biologically, has ever lived past 69. Nobody has ever hit 70.
Well, you're going to live to 70, and I'm going to be there to congratulate you.
Like 70 miles an hour? If you're talking 70 years, I'll take the odds against that one. Not that I want you to go anywhere, but I think the odds are not good. I was talking to an embalmer before I came over here earlier. We're going to go to break, folks. Happy 4th. We've got a whole other hour coming up. We're having a good time. We hope you are, too. Stay tuned to WGH Talk back in 15.
You're listening to WGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.